It's good to see everyone again this evening. I would like to invite you to turn in your New Testaments to Matthew, the fourth chapter, Matthew chapter 4. We're actually going to be taking our study from the entirety of the Gospel of Matthew. This will somewhat be a survey following a particular theme that runs throughout that Gospel, and one I think is repeated in all four of the Gospels. Most of us are familiar with the term disciple and what it means to be a disciple of Christ or a disciple in general. There are two basic concepts that are found in that word. The first one is to be a learner. That is, if we are a disciple of Christ, it is our purpose to learn about Jesus. And we actually talk about that quite a bit. To learn about his life, to learn of his teachings, to make application of those in our lives. But a disciple is also a follower of Jesus Christ. And we could say that in a metaphorical sense, because a learner of Christ, as he applies those things that he has learned to his life, is following the precepts and teachings. But in a very real way, there is a literal following of Jesus, especially that which was done as recorded in the New Testament. And I want to begin in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, where we have the example of four fishermen who, when Jesus was walking by the sea, he saw them. Two brothers, Simon called Peter, this is verse 18, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets, and they followed him. And going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. I want you to note a couple of things about this. First of all, the call to follow that Jesus made. That's Jesus' call. It was his call to these who became his apostles. It is his call to us as well to follow him. Now, that call to follow is one that is filled with promise for us. It is stated, for example, in part when he said, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Rather than fishermen, "I will make you fishers of men." That was a promise that Jesus gave to them. And of course, it was readily fulfilled in the lives of the apostles, as they were indeed foundation stones in the church of our Lord. Now, as you go on, you could go just a few chapters over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and we find another example. Again, another of the disciples of the Lord in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 of the text. Matthew 9 and verse 9, when Jesus passed from there and saw a man named Matthew at the tax office sitting, he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, and they sat down with him and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw it, and they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now here again was an example, this time Matthew, a publican or tax collector, who was specifically called to that office of apostle. And we do want to note that in these first two examples that we are given, in Matthew 4 and 9, these individuals were called to be part of the inner circle of Christ's followers, those 12 men who would serve Jesus intimately during his earthly ministry. But I want you to notice when Matthew was called to follow and did, that he went to his house. And here was an opportunity now for there to be an influence. That Matthew could be an influence, and he brought individuals in who were like him. Verse 10, many tax collectors and sinners came down with him and the disciples. So now you have, at least stated explicitly in this text, those four fishermen and now a publican or a tax collector that were sitting with Jesus, and now we have others who were coming in, who were perhaps influenced to come, offered to come and to listen to Jesus. And there was, in fact, in another sense, a call that was given to them. You'll notice when he said in verse 12, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. For we need to learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call. There's the call to follow me. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so there is, again, in this idea of a call, and Jesus' call to follow, not only the promise, I will make you fishers of men, but this call for them to, as sinners, come to repentance was an indication now that in this call to follow Jesus, there is that opportunity for forgiveness. Now, I know that's not explicitly stated in the text, but I think it is implicit in this call for sinners to come and to repent, with that recognition that based upon our repentance of our sins, we can obtain mercy from God. Now, as you go on just into the next chapter in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10 in the first four verses of the text, we now have the list of the 12. And there's not an explicit phrase, follow me, that is found in this text, but you'll notice that in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 10, he called his 12 disciples to him. Now that, of course, has reference to the 12 individuals who he had chosen to be his apostles. And it is a specific reference for them to come to him physically in his presence so that he might give them these powers that he sought to endow them with so that they could go about the commission that he was going to give them to do. But he called the 12 disciples to him and gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. The names of the 12 apostles are these. Riley could tell us those names because I listened to the song that she sang just yesterday, and she knows these 12 men. Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These the 12 men who were the intimate disciples, the inner circle of those who were following after Jesus. And so they were endued with the power that Jesus granted to them, that power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. And he gave them those powers that they might shine forth, not only in their example in teaching, but in the evidence that would be supplied as they engaged in these miraculous works and showed this ability that they had been given, that indeed the message that they were proclaiming was the message from God. Now, why was it that he wanted to give them these gifts? Well, if you'll just look a little bit later in the text, actually the very next verse, we are told that the 12, Jesus sent them out. So here is the call to come and follow me. I'm going to equip you, and now I'm going to send you out. For what purpose? Well, the purpose for which he sent them was so that he could bring others to himself. That is, their purpose in going out was to become fishers of men, to share with other individuals the message that Jesus had given them, to come and to follow me. And so in verse 5, the 12 Jesus sent out, he commanded them saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this commission, we have named this or denominated this as the limited commission in the sense that it was not Jesus' intention early on in his ministry for his disciples to go to the Gentiles. No, the kingdom would be presented first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so this was a call for the Jew to come and to follow Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, as we continue on in that 10th chapter, I would like you to skip over to verse 34 of the text and look at the message that Jesus had delivered to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The message was this: do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Continuing on in verse 39 of the text, he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Now there is the concept of reward that is given here that we've already alluded to. The promise as we come to Christ as his disciples, a prophet's reward, a righteous man's reward. If we but give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, we will by no means lose our reward. But in that same context, there is something else that is introduced, and that is that there is an obligation in the following of Jesus which may lead us to personal loss. That is, there are consequences to discipleship. So when Jesus calls for us to follow after him, we must do so recognizing that he will set us at enmity even with those we love if we are his disciple. When Jesus came, though it was his desire to bring peace to earth, there is that reality in that those will reject Jesus, that we will be at odds, sometimes with father and mother, sometimes with son or daughter. But it is our responsibility to take up our burden, our cross, and follow Jesus no matter the consequence. So there is that concept in discipleship, certainly, of reward. And we want to emphasize that there is reward that comes. There are benefits that accrue to us. Things that the disciples, those inner servants of Christ, that inner circle that they received as a result of their following Jesus. And we can say the same thing with each of us if we follow our Lord. That there are benefits that are ours, but as a part of it, there are sacrifices which must be made if we are indeed taking up our cross and following after him. Now that is restated again, revisited in Matthew chapter 16 as we continue on from front to back in this quick survey of the text and keeping up this idea or concept of following. I want you to notice in chapter 16 of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16 in verse 24 of the text, the words of our Lord. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So there is identical restatement of that principle. There is a burden that we must bear. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is a beautiful expression of the relative nature of the burden and sacrifice which must be made if we are to be followers of Jesus. And that by comparison, greater value that accrues to us as a result of the sacrifices made. Yes, it is from time to time necessary that we make sacrifices as followers or disciples of Christ. It may even be the case, as this passage very clearly affirms, that we will lose our lives in service to the Master. Some people refer to that as the ultimate sacrifice when we talk about martyrdom for the cause of Christ. And there have been individuals through the ages who have lost their lives because they refused to deny the Lord Jesus, instead professing him as their Lord and their Savior, even to the point of death by sword. And yet for these individuals, they have gained something far greater. There is absolutely nothing that the world has to compare with the eternal weight of glory for those who are his, of what it means as we take up our cross and follow Jesus in eternity. Whatever it is that the world offers up, if we give that in exchange for our soul, then we have lost in the bargain. Instead, we must maintain an understanding of the soul's value so that we, by making those sacrifices, we ensure ourselves standing with God. The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. And so that concept of taking up a cross and bearing that burden as we follow after Jesus is one that is worthy of great reward. Now, there are also a number of examples that we could find, and I'm just pointing out two of them in this particular text. If you'll go with me, Matthew chapter 19, the first one in verse 16. There are examples that we find in Jesus' call for people to follow after him where they did not, where they refused to. And just as we would say that there are consequences to following him in the sense that we might suffer persecution, there are likewise consequences to not following Jesus. We have, as an example, this rich young man who we are told, beginning in verse 16 of the text, came to Jesus and asked the question, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now understand what he was asking for, and he was well aware of what that meant, eternal life, life in the presence of God. This is extremely valuable. In fact, we've already alluded to the fact that there is nothing that the world has, that the world can offer, that comes up to the level of the value of the life eternal in the presence of God. And so Jesus answered him when he asked, "What can I do to have eternal life?" He said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." That's what you must do. Well, he said to him in response, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And can you imagine the relief in this young man as he realized that what Jesus was requiring of him is something that he had done, as he said, "I have kept these things from my youth." But he still wanted to know, what else is there? What more do I lack? Jesus told him in verse 21, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." That same phrase. The phrase that he gave to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And when they heard him say, "Follow me," they dropped their nets and they followed him. Matthew, the tax collector, at work, Jesus comes to him and says, "Come and follow me." And he set down what he was doing, left his job, and he followed after Jesus. A rich young man who understood what it meant because he was inquiring, "I want eternal life," was told by Jesus, "Sell what you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me." In this case, in verse 22, we are told that the young man heard that saying and went away sorrowful. He didn't follow Jesus. He left Jesus. Why? Because he had many possessions. And for the life of me, it is difficult for me to understand. Perhaps it is because I do not have the same riches that this young man had, to where he looked at the scale. He looked at all of the possessions that he had, and he looked at what had been promised to him by following Jesus, which was the eternal life that he sought. But as he looked at the balance, he felt that his own possessions were of greater value and more important to him than eternal life. And individuals make that same choice all the time, every single day. You talk about the necessity sometimes of leaving family, of the fact that it will cause enmity, it will cause division, it will cause hardship, as your family rejects you because you have turned to Christ. Still there is that call to follow Jesus. Individuals will have to give up the work that they do, perhaps. Individuals will have to give up the friends that they have gained as they've walked in their life, perhaps. Individuals that or things that you think are important to you, that you ascribe high value to, might of necessity have to be given up to follow Jesus. And so many individuals say, "I'm not willing to give that up." And at least metaphorically, they do just as this rich young man did and go away sorrowful, unwilling to follow Jesus because what they have is of greater value to them, though the inherent value is nothing in comparison. It's more important to them than serving the Lord. You see, the invitation that Jesus gave to come and follow is an invitation that is given to each and every one of us. We've already alluded to the fact that it was given to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And by the way, what happened when the disciples went and they preached this message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Well, one of the things that happened, as Jesus said would happen, is that individuals rejected their teaching. He told them, don't linger if that's the case. Dust off the dust from your feet and go on to the next place. But Jesus himself had something to say about this in Matthew chapter 23. If you look there, Matthew the 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 37, is Jesus himself references those who were Israel. And he says in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together. That's the call to come to me, to follow me. As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And that was the key. It was a matter of will and the fact that they were not willing to follow Jesus. Now, as a result of that, we're told in verse 38, your house is left to you desolate. I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The rejection of Jesus had consequence, just as it was with the rich young ruler and just as it is with each and every one of us who do not heed the invitation call to come and to follow Jesus. Now, we alluded to those of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want to end our lesson this evening by looking at that greater commission that was given to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And in verses 18 through 20 of the text, after the resurrection of our Lord, as he appeared to his disciples, he came to the 11. Judas had betrayed him. He came to the 11, as stated in verse 16 of the text, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And Jesus came and spoke to them, verse 18, and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. It's the exact same thing he had told them with regard to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to them. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he's saying, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so now we have the greater invitation that extends to all nations under heaven. That is the invitation that extends to you and I. We have been given the same invitation that inner circle of disciples were given. Those 12 men who, when Jesus said, come and follow me, they followed him. We have been given exactly that same invitation that the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the chosen ones of God, were given when the disciples were sent out to them and said, come and follow Jesus. Some did, some did not. And now, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Each and every one of us have been given that same invitation to come and follow Jesus. That's what it says, go and make disciples. Make learners of Jesus. Make followers of Jesus. How to do this? To baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's how disciples come. You are given the invitation. And of course, there are many who are here this evening who have taken advantage of that invitation. They have been baptized in water for the remission of sins. They have diligently applied themselves to learn so that they might recognize the teaching of Jesus, who he was, what he stood for, and follow that. And in every sense of the term, they were followers of Jesus. And what is the consequence of that? The consequence of it is that they have sacrificed. And I can know that for a certainty because of the ones that I've spoken to in this audience who have done that. And often they have suffered as a result of their appeal to Jesus. And yet each and every one of them made that decision because they understood the blessing that would be theirs. the blessings, the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. Ultimately, that blessing of life eternal that is theirs if they make that sacrifice. But again, when every creature is preached the gospel, we are told that he that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. And just like that rich young ruler, just like the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in every nation there are individuals who they look at the cost and they look at the benefit, and because there is something that they value more than eternal life in the presence of God, they choose not to follow. Each and every one of us make that decision. Please understand this as we make an extra application in this regard, is that God does not accept those who are half-hearted in their efforts to serve Him. That's exactly what was the case with the rich young ruler. You know, he had done part of it. He said, I have kept from my youth up these things, but there was something that he lacked, and he wasn't willing to give that up. I'm afraid that we as Christians from time to time are a bit apathetic, a bit half-hearted, lacking in our first love or the proper zeal to serve Jesus by giving Him our all. So our service is with conditions, limitations, certain things that we hold back. We're not willing to give up everything to our Lord, but that's exactly what He required of the ruler. And He's not a respecter of persons. It is something that He requires of each and every one of us. And so we offer that invitation to those who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. It is our prayer that you do not go away sorrowful, because there is something that is in your life that precludes you from making the decision to gain that ultimate reward of eternity in God's presence. In order for you to attain it, you must follow Jesus. You must come to Him. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord. Be baptized to have your sins washed away. Rise to walk in newness of life as His disciple, following after Him. For those of our number who are here who are Christians, if there is something that you are holding back, you've not given your whole self to the Lord, that's what He expects of you. And that's the only way you can truly be called a disciple of Christ, when you have counted the cost and given up all to follow Him. And if there is something that is amiss in your life, something that is lacking, you need to make acknowledgments to God, certainly. And if there is that need to make acknowledgments to your brethren that we can encourage you and help you, then we offer ourselves to you as well. The invitation is extended. If you have a need to respond to that call, we call upon you to come now while together we stand and while we sing.